Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 5 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 22, 41 through 53. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. On Fridays, we want to pray for the Arab world. Lord, I ask that you would open the eyes of all the Muslims and all the people that don't know you in the Arab world today, God. I ask that you would raise up messengers. Would you send missionaries, laborers in the harvest field, God, to share the gospel with them. Lord, I ask that even in the most difficult to reach places, Lord, the hardest, dead set against you places on earth, Lord, would you bear your witness there? Would you send brave men and women to share the gospel there? And Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be finishing 1 Kings. We'll be starting in 1 Kings 22, starting in verse 41. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. In everything he followed in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. Jehoshaphat was also at peace with the king of Israel. So if you remember, the high places were not necessarily, they weren't worshiping other gods on the high places. They were worshiping the one true God. They were just doing it in a way that wasn't necessarily the way that the Lord had prescribed. But he had grace for this. This was something that he allowed and he was okay with. I think our author keeps putting this in here to point out that this is not the way the Lord had prescribed things to be done. But he was permissive of it because they were still worshiping the one true God. They were doing it somewhat of in ignorance, but they were still worshiping the one true God. If you remember, there's a conversation that Jesus has with the woman at the well, and she says, you know, our people say that we're supposed to worship here on this mountain, and you people say, speaking of the people of the southern kingdom, the remnants of the Jews, the people of Judah, she says, you say in Jerusalem. And Jesus says salvation comes through the Jews, meaning the tribe of Judah. But he said in a time there will be, you won't worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem, you'll worship in spirit and truth. And it's an interesting statement because what she's saying goes back to this day is they were worshiping in Samaria. And so they were worshiping on these high places. She could have been referencing the golden calves, but more than likely she was referencing worshiping the one true God on one of these chief high places in the northern kingdom of Israel. That's probably what she was speaking of. And so these high places, they stuck around for a very long time, and they carried their own mystique and their own tradition with them. So much so that when we see Jesus meet the woman at the well, she says, our people say we're supposed to worship here, worship meaning the one true God. I believe that's what she's talking about. But Jehoshaphat was a good king. He followed the Lord. And the only thing that the Lord had against him was he didn't remove the high places. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, the Lord allowed it here. Verse 45, as for the other events of Jehoshaphat's reign, the things he achieved and his military exploits, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? He rid the land of the rest of the male shrine prostitutes who remained there, even after the reign of his father Asa. There was then no king in Edom, a provincial governor ruled. So we see that there were still some leftover terrible things from before his father Asa's reign. And Jehoshaphat goes through and he clears out everything, every wickedness, everything that is debaucherous or serving a foreign god. Jehoshaphat goes and he gets rid of it all. The next story is very interesting. Verse 48. Now Jehoshaphat built a fleet of trading ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they never set sail. They were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. Now, if you remember, Ophir is where Solomon had sent ships to go and get gold. And here Jehoshaphat is trying to build that back up. What we've seen just from the last few chapters of Jehoshaphat, it seems like if for no other reason, through a peace treaty, he wanted to reestablish that link between the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. He wanted to reunify the kingdom. And so here we see him doing the things that were done during that unified kingdom. He's made a treaty with Ahab. He's actually gone to war with him. Now we see he's building these ships after Ahab's gone. Ahaziah, his son, it's about to tell us this, has taken over for him. But these ships, they're not going to set sail. They're wrecked at Ezion Geber. And it's an interesting point to mention this when it's saying all of the things that Jehoshaphat did, and he did a lot of things. There's some more interesting stories about him in the Book of Chronicles. But it points out this here, and I find that very interesting. I think my opinion here is verse 49 is letting us know why the ships were wrecked at Ezion Geber. Verse 49, at that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my men sail with yours." But Jehoshaphat refused. I think what it's trying to hint at here is that these ships were sabotaged by Ahaziah, some of his people, since Jehoshaphat refused to let Ahaziah sail with him. I think that may be what it's trying to get at there in a less than perfectly subtle way. Verse 50, then Jehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David, his father. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. Verse 51, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father and his mother and of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshiped Baal and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. And I think this brings us all the way back at the very end of the book of 1 Kings. And remember, there is no actual book of 1 Kings or 2 Kings. This is all one book split into two volumes. So this is an arbitrary break in the narrative of 1 and 2 Kings. It's an arbitrary break in this storyline. But because this is basically halfway, this is where it's broken up. But it keeps reminding us that these evil kings, they continued following the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. And that was to have these golden calves in these two cities in the northern kingdom, where, remember, Jeroboam said, if they keep worshiping the one true God, they'll all go back to Jerusalem and reunify the kingdom and take it away from me. So he came up, he invented a false god, just like Aaron and Miriam had done for the people of Israel when Moses had disappeared for so long on top of the mountain. He made the same golden calf for the people to worship, just like Aaron had done, and led the people of Israel astray. He's doing this on purpose, for political reasons, so that they will not leave him, so that he can maintain control over the kingdom that he has. That is why Jeroboam did this, and that's why everyone else followed suit. They all knew that if they got rid of these golden calves and said they're just idols that Jeroboam made and they're nothing, then everyone would continue going to Jerusalem and the kingdom might actually have been reunified. I mean, in the end, that would have been up to the Lord. The Lord promised Jeroboam that he would give him just as lasting a kingdom as David if he was faithful, and he wasn't. Jeroboam was anything but faithful to the Lord, and so the Lord was not going to honor, you know, that deal with him, because he said, if you will remain faithful just in your lifetime, the Lord wasn't even talking about Jeroboam's children, saying, if you will remain faithful, then I will make the same covenant I made with David with you. You won't cease to have a king on the throne. And instead of obeying and believing the Lord, Jeroboam decided to forge his own path to try and have a lasting kingdom, and it didn't work. And all of these people, it's going to fail. For Ahab, his family line is going to be eliminated, just like Jeroboam's was, and just like others before him were. His family line is going to be completely wiped out, and we're going to see that as we move forward into the book of 2 Kings. We're probably, if you're listening to this as we're going through this, we're going to take about a week or two break between 1st and 2nd Kings, and we'll pick that back up. If you are listening to this in the archives, then just click right on over to the book of 2nd Kings chapter 1 and jump right in with us. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back in a couple weeks with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.